Today the gospel reading comes from St. Luke's Good News, beginning in the very last chapter, the 24th, with verse 44. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah, the Christ, is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Will you please join me for a few moments of silent prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I could take you to the exact spot, 38 years, almost 38 years on, the memory's still that clear. My parents had brought me and all my stuff up to Georgetown, helped me move into my dorm room. We had lunch together in the sub, the Student Union building. They happened to run into an old McMurray friend of theirs, Weldon Crowley, who had just been hired to be chairman of the history department there at Southwestern. They introduced me, so now I knew a total of one person at Southwestern. We hugged some one last time. Everybody cried. And then they got in their car for the six-hour drive back to Seymour. I waved them out of sight, and then I turned and went back to my dorm room, curled up on my bed with a book, and I wondered, what's next? What's next? I have said goodbye a lot in my life, moved all over. I've waved friends down their new roads. I have done way too many funerals. We've taken our own kids off to university and dropped them, left them there, and driven away. For all my practice at goodbyes, I can't ever remember being happy about it. Am I the only one? Do we just not have enough faith? What was it about Jesus' goodbye which allowed his friends, as St. Luke tells the story, we just heard it, to return to Jerusalem, remember, with great joy? Of all the special days in our year of worship, the Ascension has always been my least favorite. I mean, it's not even on a Sunday. It's never on a Sunday. It's always on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter Day, 10 days before Pentecost. It's almost impossible. Have you ever noticed? It's almost impossible to get people to come to worship on a Thursday. Even Maundy Thursday, I mean, it's like finding chicken teeth. But besides all the logistical stuff, I have always associated our Lord's ascension with his goodbye. And part of me wonders, why celebrate a goodbye? especially Jesus, goodbye. Well, Glenn called me out on it several weeks ago. He didn't know that he called me out, but he did. He convinced me that we need to celebrate the Ascension, even if we have to move it to Sunday. We should not just pretend like it's not there. You know what it's like to pretend that somebody hasn't said goodbye? You start getting in all kind of weird stuff. We shouldn't try to pretend that Jesus' ascension doesn't happen. So, anyway, I started looking at the scriptures for today and really listening to their witness. Guess what I found out? The ascension is not about goodbye at all. I was suffering from a failure of imagination, not allowing myself to realize the immensity of God's action for us. Us, here, today, in this place, you and me, God's power at work in Jesus' ascension. I have heard that Ephesians reading Russell just read so many times in my life. I have preached on it. I have meditated on it over and over and over again. St. Paul writes to the followers of Jesus in Ephesus to encourage and strengthen them, not just to hold on to the faith that they have, but to grow in their faith. He's not going to let them just sit on their laurels, whether or not they've got pew cushions. He's going to encourage them to keep growing. He writes that the gift of the Spirit, of wisdom, of revelation, he's praying for that Spirit to be given to his friends in Ephesus. He tells them of our hope, and he speaks of it as a rich inheritance with all the saints. He's talking about faith as hope. Hope as faith. He speaks of this hope as the comprehension, the perception, the understanding, the comprehension of the greatness of God's power for us believers. Have you ever thought of hope that way? A perception of God's power at work for you, for us. God's power, the realization of which Paul says we need. That power was revealed, he says, in Jesus' resurrection and ascension. It's there in his words. Jesus is revealed as greater than any other power. Not just earthly, but also spiritual. Not just of his own time and culture, but all time, all places. Jesus is Lord. In Jesus, the very authority of God is at work. Always. Especially, St. Paul says, in the church. Really? Us? Yes. In his body. Jesus' ascension. His majesty, his power, his ascension makes his followers more than just a collection of like-minded individuals. We become truly, literally, his body, and he is our head. Okay, what part of the body is do we get the speech coming from? Yeah, generally speaking, the property of speech is found in the head. In what part of the body do we have the faculty of reasoning? The head. What part of the body contains the aspect which tells other people if you're sad or mad or happy or frustrated? The head. Thank you very much. Okay. You following along here? It is Christ who is our head. He helps us reason. He communicates to the world through us. It is Christ, head of the church. It's what Jesus told us himself, that we would be clothed with power from on high. He said that. He promised that. And it is Jesus' power. It's God's power. The power not to impose our wills or our desires or our preference, but the power to serve. Like Jesus did. The power to call the world to repentance, to turn life around in a Godward direction. The power to reorient ourselves towards our home. It's Christ's power at work in His church, in His body, that does that, that makes that proclamation. It is Christ's power at work in the church to forgive sins, the sins of the world, because we are Christ's body. He is our head, brothers and sisters. The ascension is not Jesus' goodbye. It is, in fact, Jesus' hello to His body in every place, in every time, and Jesus' hello to the world, to which He speaks at all every moment through His body. This mystery. St. Paul reminds us, this mystery means that Christ Jesus is the fullness, Him who fills all in all. This day bears witness to the truth that Jesus, the Son of God, did not simply fill our humanity, our created nature, with divine life. The glory of the Son of God, the incarnate Word of God, is that He has brought this whole creation into resurrection life. He has embraced the whole cosmos and brought it with Him into the very presence of His Father. Now that, folks, is a wonderment when you actually start thinking about it. You and I are swept up in the arms of love and brought into the very presence of God. That's what today's about. This Easter, we've been reflecting on the signs of life, the signs God has given us of Jesus' resurrection. Words and wounds, the meal, promises, His presence. Today, we hear in the ascension of joy. Joy, a new joy, breaking in, setting things upside down and topsy-turvy, filling us in a new way with a realization of what God has done. It is not our Lord's goodbye to His friends, but His hello to His body, to the world, to the whole cosmos, the whole creation. He ascended to be with us, with all of us, in every place, forever. When we come to this table this morning, remember, brothers and sisters, He is here with all of us, our head. He really is. Truly. This is not just a memorial. This isn't just us reminiscing about a far gone event. Here, Jesus comes to us and feeds us with His own life, nourishes us with His joy. Here, here, today, is joy. It is truly His gift, a sign of life. My brothers and sisters, I give you now the gift of silence, some time to listen, time to hear what God is saying to you today. Listen well so you may choose well how you're going to respond.